Well, dolls, I'm really excited to introduce you to my friend. We say we call each other buddies, even though that was our first time really getting to interface one-on-one. My friend Winston, we met on TikTok, and he was the first video that I had stitched that actually got some traction. And I didn't know it at the time, but someone said, you do know he was like on a reality TV show, and I had no idea. And so I got to sit down with him today and hear about a little bit of his experience as a young guy in his 30s, single, navigating what his experience has been being single, navigating dating life. I like his opinion on dating apps. It's different than mine, but both of us kind of putting our heads together and saying, what do we see as the downfall? What do we think is the challenge in dating these days? And even his experience, he was open enough to share his experience feeling like he got love bombed and what that was like in his body. Just a few housekeeping notes. If you are interested in more content, if let's say you don't have a therapist or can't afford one or someone you connect with, it's not therapy, but I do offer online coaching. It's once a month. It's topic-based. October is I can't trust. So if you are having a hard time getting into a relationship and trusting your partner, even if it's not them, but it's based on your past experience, the one in November is going to be about what do we do with our mad. There's a lot of things to be mad about in this world if we look around us in our relationships. Sometimes our mad comes flying out of us and sometimes we stuff it down, but it's going to be a 3-hour coaching, answering your questions. It's limited to 10 people and you can find those on my Stan store and any of my bios. So check those out. My ask, as always, keep sending those voice memos to us. We do get to tackle one at the end of our time together today. We actually get to look at a question about what do I do when my partner is doubting marrying me, doubting our relationship. And so Winston and I talk a little bit about that at the end. So keep sending your voice memos to my email, lisa@somymomsatherapist.com. Try to keep them to 60 to 90 seconds, but I love answering your questions. And with that, let's get started. All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of So My Mom's a Therapist. Today I've got, I would call you a buddy. I feel like we know each other. This is, again, like you said, the power of the internet, but I've got Winston here with me. Winston, can you just share with people a little bit about yourself and how?
Well, first off, I'm totally unqualified to be on here. I have no clue why you've reached out to me, but I stumbled upon your videos so long ago. I feel like when you first started your account, I remember following you when you had like 100,000 followers, which was a long time ago. Yeah, your content is amazing. It's hilarious. It's so real in a time where we really need real advice. You're the one account that I'm like, okay, this is unbiased, good advice, not steered towards men or women. And it's just like, that is so rare to come across. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and thanks for connecting with me. Evidently, I've made a few people laugh with some of my humor in dating, but yes.
Yes, you have. Well, you know, it was a year, 2021 in June that I started, but it popped really, really quick. But what you said is actually why I started making videos, because I was leaning over my little teenager and I'm like, what is this? I was leaning over her shoulder, looking at TikTok video. And I was like, what is this shit? This is the worst advice I've ever heard. And she was like, oh, they're all over TikTok. And I'm just like, that's going to get you in more trouble. That's not going to get you what you want. And I was like, well, I'm going to make videos with good advice. And of course they rolled their eyes and were like, okay, mom, you know, but you, I don't know if you noticed your video. So one of my kids was like, mom, if you want someone to watch your video, you need to stitch it. And of course I was like, well, what's stitching? They had to tell me, but your video was the first video I stitched where it actually got people watching. I remember going back to the kids being like, somebody's watching my video. And they're like, what? Right. But it was your video. You were in the car and you had your glasses on or something. And I was like,
And I don't know. I do a lot of videos in the car, a lot of that, but I don't know what it was. What was that rambling about? Do you remember which one?
I don't. It was. I got to go back and look it up. But then I remember someone being. Well, no. Were you on a TV show?
Okay. Yeah. So to give you the rundown, 4 years ago. So it's been a while. I'm an old man. 4 years ago, I did the show on CBS called Big Brother. And then the summer after that, I was on USA Love Island, season 1. And there was no love on that island. So I'm fair to say that I had a couple of wild summers and weird experiences. But yeah, I hopped on the app during quarantine like everybody else. I was just bored. And, you know, I'm a millennial. So I still feel cringe and too old to be on there. And then now I'm just like, I found my groove and just had fun with it. And it's I feel like a lot more millennials are on there than they want to act like. A lot of them are ghost followers. I say a lot of my friends will be like, oh, hey, I saw that video. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, why do I have you on there? And they're like, oh, user 29876. And I'm pissed about them. I'm like, well, you can't be on there. You got to be posting if you're going to be on there. But
yeah. But that's so funny. Okay, so I had no idea. And I had to, because, you know, and
I'm glad you didn't miss much. Trust me.
Someone's like, and so I made a comment on your video or something. And I think I was a little bit more sassy right when I first started. And I've like mellowed down into more educating now. Although I do love being sassy every now and then.
Absolutely. You have to be.
I can't.
Your toes, you know?
Well, I'm Greek and Italian. We run hot. Like we run fiery. But but someone's like, well, you do know who he is. And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I have no, I just thought, I'm like, I have, I'm like,
even
all right.
Better. Yeah. It didn't matter. No, I'm totally glad. I refuse to acknowledge any of it anyway. Sometimes, yeah, it was a while ago, but no, it was a fun little thing. I never expected TikTok to take off the way it has for me in a weird way. But yeah, it's been fun. As long as it's fun and light, I'm going to stay on it and just keep going. So
and that's my philosophy too, is, you know, someone said, what do you plan on doing with this? And I said, well, as far as TikTok is concerned, as long as it's enjoyable, I will do it. If it stops being enjoyable, I'm out. Yeah. Like that, that's the only reason is if it's fun, or if I feel like it adds value, if it's adding value, making people laugh, which it has value these days. Right. Yeah. And then again, my mind is more educating too. I'm like, if y'all hate men and you're trying to date them at the same time, I don't think that's going to work out super well for you, you know? So like maybe
I'm over here clapping for those who can't see right now. I'm like, yes, preach on that a little bit. No, I'm teasing. Listen, it goes both ways. I know there are a lot of trash men out there too. Trust me. I know. But
absolutely. You know, I always say there's good guys and there's not so great guys, and there's good girls and there's not so great girls, and both on the same thing with any profession too. I mean, I was just having this conversation the other day. I'm like, there's some really good therapists, and I'm like, there are some really not good therapists out there that I've run across too. So it's just part of life. Well, one of the reasons that, you know, your videos all seemed to, a lot of them circulate around being single, dating, relationships, you know, and I know sometimes, I remember last year, I think you paid nod to cuffing season. Like,
yes.
What is it for you? What has been your experience?
Oh, it's right now. We're in the middle of it. There's a crisp in the air. Listen, I got a hoodie on. Everybody is finding themselves in relationships. You hit up your single buddy, you want to go watch the game, forget it. He's got to go to the pumpkin patch. You know, it's that time of the year. And all jokes aside, it is funny. So I am in central Kentucky, and in this region, you know, I'm an alien for being in my 30s and not married, you know, and no kids. And so it is kind of tough because this period of isolation comes where, you know, single people are kind of isolated in this region, at least, where people get married at 23.
Yeah.
You go to college and get their MRS degree, I say. And so it's a little different here. Everybody finds themselves into relationships going into the winter. You know, it's cuddle season. You want to sit back, watch a movie. Nobody wants to go out and do anything. So that is all in all cuffing season. Yeah, I remember I made a video on that and it kind of went wild. I guess people just said never really heard that. That was just a term I'd picked up. I don't know. I probably copied it off somebody else, but.
Yeah, no, and I think that's something a lot of people can relate to. I would love to hear your perspective of what do you see with dating, you know, even particularly, I mean, having been on two shows, one geared towards love, although, you know, I have to say I did go through my binge season of like when the original Love Island series
UK version was fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
That was like,
so good. Okay, and that was like I watched one season of that and then was like contacted in a weird way. And this like came about as an opportunity. And I knew like, okay, wow, this is kind of risque. Like they're kind of wild. And I'm like, my grandma's going to be watching this. Like, oh. But at the same time, I knew it was CBS and nicknamed Can't Be Sexy is what I've heard. So I knew it was going to be toned down a little bit, but it was a fun time. But yeah, it's created a wrench in dating. If I'm being honest, it's created such a weird wrench that I was never like prepared for. And I don't think anybody is prepared for what social media has done, period, to dating. But especially having done prior reality shows, it's like thrown this really weird wrench in where on like date one, you know, I'm hoping to God they never saw anything. And most of the time I, you know, obviously go out with someone who I kind of vet and know, and hopefully they have never seen anything or know me from something else. Not that, but yeah, it's created a weird conversation on night one to be like, yeah, so, you know, we have a great date. I go to add them on Instagram afterwards. And then they're like, what is this? And then I'm like, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a whole conversation with that. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know how to navigate it. I think some people are way better at navigating it than I am right now, because obviously I'm still single and still powering through. But I've learned a lot in my years. We'll say that.
Yeah. And I can imagine that. You know, I have a side note to like Love Island is when people ask me like, well, you know, you because particularly I'm a trauma therapist, so I really deal with a lot of complicated cases or really heavy cases. And so they'd be like, well, how do you balance out your work? Like, what do you do to balance out like how hard your work is? And I said, well, that was, I used to say, well, I go home and watch Love Island. Like I just pour myself a glass of wine. Like give me no brainer, hot yes. people on bikinis. Yes. I'm like there. Like that's to me, like, I was like, so thank you for contributing to my self-care is what I have to
thank
say.
Thank you. No, what's so funny is like, I love a good binge of The Bachelor. I just watch right? Bachelorette. And like, it's great. It's good. Mindless TV yes. entertainment. When exactly. I sit down, I want to sit down and relax and judge other people. Come on, like not myself.
Yes,
makes me feel better about myself. No, I'm
yes. I mean, there's something about saying. Let's just. There's something about looking at me like, oh, girl, you are yeah. a hot mess, right? Then I don't have to think exactly. about what I don't have to think about what a mess I am. I can just be like, you know, just give me a little break from my own reality here. So I appreciate it, but I could see that. I'm curious. I mean, so you've seen a lot of dating information, you know, you've even taken your own experience. And, I don't know if you've been on dating apps or not, although I think anybody at this point has been on a dating app. If they've been,
I have, I call them the scrapyard and I'm done. I gave up. I've been clean since I think it was spring around April, May. Yeah. So,
what do you think is the challenges? What are some of the challenges you think to dating in this day and age in this time?
I think that honestly, the apps alone and with social media, you have endless possibilities. And that is like, for me, what's I've seen so many of my single buddies and friends that are girls, like everyone has so many options that no one wants to settle into mm-hmm. anything. And it might be something that's good for you that you know, it's just, I don't think we're meant to have this many possibilities. And
yeah,
while TikTok is amazing, and while all these apps are so great, but now not only are you like, it used to be you're dating in your neighborhood, right? You fell in love with a girl next door. Your parents met because they went to school together, whatever. Now you're open to the whole US. You're open to even overseas. Like the power of the internet is insane because the dating possibilities are just, well, you can date anyone, literally. And I don't know if we were meant to be able to see that many options, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think ignorance is bliss a little bit in that way. But yeah, the can of worms has been opened. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you're really, I mean, I'm just processing aloud with you, but you're really bringing up a good point that ties to my work in psychology is when I'm, okay, so stick with me. This connects with what you're saying. When I'm working with somebody who's flooded with anxiety, and oftentimes I'll get somebody, I mean, often it's interesting enough, they're usually crazy smart, have gone to Columbia or something. And then they end up getting this like idea of like, oh my gosh, all of this is going on in the world. Look at all the horrific things going on in the world. Look at the corruption of our nation, which is, you know, I mean, that's not, if you were looking for it, you will find it in these days. And if you, anywhere in the world. And it is their disillusionment. And what I'll often have them doing is start saying like, well, hold on, when's your body getting distressed? Well, when I go on and look at the news. Now, I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on in the world. However, we're taking in so much data of like this disaster, this disaster, this disaster. I don't think our bodies were supposed to know every disaster going on the entire planet. It's right. overloading. That parallels what you're saying, which is it's overloading to our body. And unless we learn, how do you harness that? Okay, so what I'll have them do is say, we got to figure out a way of like, okay, 7 to 7:30, that's my hour to swing in. What is my one or two news sources, right? Or I always say, if the world's going to shit, someone's going to tell you. You don't need to, you know, yeah, someone will tell you. You don't need to find out.
That was the best. Well, you put it great. And I'll tell you personally, I got off Twitter during COVID because of the amount of just chaos. And it was like, for me, I had to step back and be like, you know what? If the world is ending, whatever, I'm done. I'm done yes. looking at the media, the news. I even stayed off TikTok for a while because it was just so toxic. But you're right. That overwhelming of like just, you know, specifically the dating apps, going back to dating, that parallel there
yes.
is you're so overwhelmed with the amount of people that you find yourself being disposable. And you're just like disposing yes. of these swipes. And those are people like on a heartfelt level, like I feel, you know, almost like I felt dirty being on the apps and being like, yeah, X, X. And then you're like, ah, man, like this is a person behind this screen. And you know, it, maybe it's a catfish, but it's for all in all, you know, I felt like, I don't know. I just feel like it's toxic for me. I think I've made a decision that I'm like, I'm done for good. Mm-hmm. I would rather meet someone, even if it is on the internet or whatever. That's fine and dandy. I'm done with the apps. For me, I had to make a choice a while ago.
And I love you saying that, because that there is no right and wrong. There is no right. And you have to figure out for you what fits best. From my point of view, I'm coming in and being like, hey, whatever. I mean, my job is to sit with where my clients are, where people are, and to join their world and to help them figure it out. And my perspective is, if that is a piece in your life that you want, you have to learn to be able to sift. You have to be able to learn to say, okay, I'm going to talk with one or two people, and then I'm going to hide my app, so that you're not sitting in this huge pond, that you're getting down, you're minimizing the pond yourself. It's being able to manage it, whether it's news, you know, whether you're taking in news, okay, managing how much information you have coming in, managing how many people you have coming in. I actually ended up doing a small video and putting it on my Stand store, which is like, how do you, we were joking around, Christina, my manager, and I, we were joking around. She's like, what do you want to name it? And I'm like, how about Dating Apps My Best Friend? And she started like cracking up, because, and which is why we ended up naming it, because like people hate them. It's like a last resort. You know, I applaud you for being where you are. However, I'm always like, if you are going to use them, use them for your benefit. It should be something that's adding to your life, not something that's taking away or you're dreading, right? One of my favorite things to say to clients is, I'm like, if any app on your phone, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, dating app, if it's not making you feel better, take it off. Right. The whole point of apps is to make your life better. Right. And all of a sudden it's that realization of like, oh yeah, that's right. These are supposed to actually add to my life, not take away.
Right. Absolutely agreed. And now, and like, I want to go on and say, I'm going to a wedding in like 3 weeks. They met on Bumble, I think. So like, yes,
yeah.
I don't mean to say it's not. It's just for me, I've made that choice where I'm like, okay, I've given it a fair shake and I'm off of it. But yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, you brought up something too that I think we need to go back to, whether it's, you know, I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary, you know, like my colleagues and I started, you know, a small nonprofit that, you know, provides like trauma trainings in India.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm always been a dreamer. Like, I just like, I get that from my pop, but he like, and I still dream about, I mean, not that the world needs another dating app, but I still dream about somehow creating something where people can meet, have more real life experiences. How do we duplicate what it used to be like, that sense of, I run into somebody at synagogue, I run into somebody, you know, our families know each other. How do we create more face-to-face interfacing, face value? Because I think where we get stuck is in behind our phones, right? That's people's safety. That's their 90 blanket. I get that. However, it gets us stuck in that, where we, again, that is that disposable part where we can, I mean, think about, if you actually are meeting and engaging with people in real life, then you remove catfishes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's so true. And like, it's funny you say that about behind the screens, because, you know, for me, I've really adjusted my, we'll just say like in dating now, I'm not allowing myself anymore to blow up and be texting and whatever until we meet and sit down face to face and we have a sit down date, whether it's drinks or dinner or whatever, or a coffee. That's when I will allow myself to gauge. But this whole, like, I have so many friends that are like, oh, well, we matched on the app and they scroll and show me their messages. I'm like, you've been messaging this guy for weeks. I'm like, and you all haven't met yet? So I'm with you. I'm like, I'm quick and to the point. Like, either we were going to, if I matched on an app, I was like, yeah, would you want to meet for a drink this week? I'm not trying to message anymore and waste any more of my time with those beginning conversations, because there's so many of my friends that are like, I can't do another talking stage.
Yeah.
I can't do another. And I understand that, because you've done it over and over and over. But then you finally meet and you realize, oh, they're kind of bland, or oh, our personalities don't match of what I thought it was going to be, because you're a really heavy texter, or, and then we met in person and you're quiet as hell and I was the one carrying the conversation. So there is a, there's a balance there for yourself. And for me, I got burned a couple of times. I've learned that, like, you know, I need to sit down face to face to know who you are first before.
You know, even as you said, I've been burned a few times. And then I saw this like little smile on your face being like, and part of me, I got to tell you, part of me is like, I want to hear that story, but then part of me is like,
well, listen,
cry.
I got a little
don't
story.
You know,
I learned a new term. I don't want to, well, this sounds, I'll tell a little bit. I won't, obviously, I'm omitting a name here, but I learned a new term. And I think you've touched on this too, love bombing. Have you heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
I think you've made a video about it maybe. But I had my first experience of that this summer and it really stung. And we'll just say that I was like fully unprepared, and I allowed myself to like reciprocate. And I was like, with the messaging and the FaceTimes and this, and I was like, oh, this girl is not playing any games. I'm not playing any games. And then there became a game, and there was a little bit of a pullback. And like you say, you know, you almost like, mm-hmm. I love when you talk about dropping into your body and like, how do you feel with that response of like this physiological thing that's going on? It's ticking in you, and you know in your gut mm-hmm. when something mm-hmm. is up and when it's not. And my gut's never been wrong in my life. And I'm 32 years old, and I've always been right. I wish I was wrong, but my gut was right on this one. And so, you know, once you go through a few of those where it's like, mm-hmm. man, you really open up and you try, it's like we're all out here on a sense hurting each other with this stuff that's going on. So I'm trying my hardest to number one, not be who I once was. Cause I'll be honest. Yeah. I in my 20s, I could apologize to a lot of women, I'm sure. You know, the whole ghosting thing wasn't even really a term, but I know for a fact that like, I probably made some mistakes in dating. In my 20s, I probably wasn't dating with the intention that I am now. But let's just say I've gotten the karma to fall back. So yeah. it's all evened itself out, we'll say.
You know, no, and I so appreciate you sharing. I mean, you know, I do use that word, although I'm not a big fan of like all like the new terms, but
yeah. I was gonna say as a therapist, like, is that a true term? Like, well, how do you even, you know, these people on TikTok will create any kind of term.
Okay. So full disclosure here. So I did a video and the gal was caught talking about a sneaky link. And I responded having no fucking idea what a sneaky link was. And we were telling my friends, I'm like, you got to go watch this video I just did. I'm like, I had to Google afterwards. I'm like, what the fuck is
this? You're Googling it, Urban Dictionary.
Get a gist by her body language and what she was saying. Yeah.
It's booty call. I mean, that's just the same thing.
Well,
But yeah, I agree. I didn't know what that meant either. I got a little bro that keeps me, hip with the terminology, but not in that kind of terminology. He's 13. Yeah. So I'm lost, dude. There's some days where I'm like, I don't know what this video is
talking about. That's right. I'm like, I've gotten to the point where I'm now making videos responding to a phrase. I have no idea what the fuck it means, but we're just going to try to like go with her body language and what she's trying to say here. I'm with you. I don't like to I think too many labels often overwhelm us. See, you know, when I'm looking, you know, a lot of labels in life, to me, we use labels to try to understand things. If it's helpful and gives us some relief, sure. So the idea of love bombing, okay, that makes me feel a little better. I can understand and I can get an idea or grasp what that means. But to me, when we're putting a lot of labels, this is just a side note. I'll come back to love bombing. Oftentimes we're putting these labels on ourselves. And when I'm sitting with a client, I'm often saying, wait, hold on. I'm not as concerned about the labels. If they help you feel better, understand who you are as you're getting older, that's great. I'm more interested in who you are as a person. Are you kind? What about your characteristics do you like, right? Sometimes we look for groups to belong in, and that's okay if it feels a sense of belonging, but I'm more interested in getting to groups that have the same morality or the same characteristics that you have. Are you loyal? Are you kind? Are you a hard worker? What do you like most about yourself? That's who you are. So that's my little side note on—
I agree, and that's so well put. But yeah, I think that in time, I've really learned who I am, and not only being a kind person, but being kind to myself and knowing—
Yes.
You know, yes. I really know what I'm looking for here. It's okay that it didn't work out with this girl. I need to be upfront and honest, but that honesty is what I crave now over anything. Like, please don't ghost me. Like, I'm so over this generation of like just not communicating, because I'm very honest now. I'm very open with everything. And I'm like, if there's any question, you let me know, because I will clear it up. But we are going to, you know, have this conversation. It's going to cleanly end, or we're getting married. There's no in between. And I'm gonna be like, you never hear from me again. You know, because I've been down that road. And
Well, I think, and that's leaning in. It's leaning in to communicate. It's leaning into the uncomfortable. It's saying, if we're going to do this, we're going to communicate and either resolve it. Either it's not a fit. So we're either leaning, but we'll figure it out one way or the other. But I want to go back to the love bombing, because I think it's a very important conversation to have, because you said a few things that I want to highlight. One is, you said, I trusted my gut. You know, when our gut goes off, it just lets us say, okay, let's watch with our eyes. It's picking up on something. We don't know if it's a small something or a big something, but that's why being attuned to your body is so important, to be like, all right, what do we have going on here? With love bombing too, especially if you're, I mean, I'm more of a dreamer. I mean, I give me a good like romantic comedy. Give me a good like, I mean,
I'm the exact same. I'm a happy-go-lucky. I've actually been called a cynical dreamer, which is kind of, you know, but I am a little bit of a realist, but I'm also very much a dreamer. I mean, so obviously.
The challenge then is if somebody comes along and it almost looks like too good to be true, if you are a dreamer and you are in that way an optimist, you're like, okay, this, I know this practically feels like it's going a little fast, but like, why not? I mean, you're the person like probably me in college when the friend jumped, you know, popped her head in. Was like, you want to go to San Francisco? And yes. I'm like, yeah. Yes. And I jumped the car.
No clue. I was already planning our, you know, Sandals Beach, Jamaica trip. And I'm like in my head, like thinking on week two, like, oh, this might be it. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like,
No. And I think we have to go easy on ourselves, because if anything, I'm just like, oh, thank you for letting me know. I live in that possibility. And we like that part. And that's the part of us that makes us feel alive and playful and not just so practical and adult. So I always leave space to say, oh, I know we love the idea of this. I love the idea of this actually truly being genuinely something that could be it. Right. And at the same time with love bombing, if you just for a moment hold it, not penalize ourselves, acknowledge what's going on, but also putting reins on saying, okay, so the one thing I know that will make my body feel better, the one thing I know that will make my gut feel better is time. And I have to see if it's going to track through time.
Actions over words and keep going.
Totally. No, you're good. Totally. And I'm going to sound like a total hypocrite, because like I did use a phrase right in the beginning of making videos called a mullet man, and it could be a mullet woman or mullet man, which is said, it's like, you know, business in the front, party in the back. They'd come in acting like they wanted a relationship. Your body's gearing up for a relationship thinking this is going to be the best relationship ever. And by the way, you're like referring past relationships, so I know you've been in relationships and it ends up like looking like a real quick hookup or a real idealistic thing. And then all of a sudden it's the party in the back, it's a hookup and it fades out. Right. And so so people were like, oh my gosh, yes, that's it. And it looks like a relationship up front or like potential up front. And then it ends up just being a ghosting or a hookup in the back. And I said, the thing you do is just kind of hold your manage your emotions, hold it a little bit. I'm not one for using like intimacy or sex as a power play, but if I can just hold it for a second, it'll run its course pretty quickly within 3 months.
Exactly. Yep. 3 months. I completely agree. It's so crazy that you say 3 months. Me and my buddies have talked. The 3 month, 90-day window is where anybody can act like somebody else. And then
the true person comes out. That's right.
And you will see in 3 months. And it's so true. And it's harder for me, because I am that, like, naturally, I'm a happy person. I want to go do this. I want to do that. I'm a doer. And I'm like, yeah. And so I will reciprocate as long as they're reciprocating. But then now, as my old age, I have realized I have to curb it back and wait and watch a couple of months and see how this really, if she's saying what she's saying, is she following through? Because I'm so tired of women telling me one thing and doing another. That has really damaged me in a long way. Not to go too deep there, but
I'm going to refrain from asking.
Talkers are going to talk. Can you walk the walk? You know,
everyone says, how do you know? You have to watch with your eyes, and it's over time that makes your body start to feel that settling in and that safety. You know, here in Los Angeles, we have a freeway right near Dodger Stadium, and one of the oldest freeways. And you start at a stop sign and you go on and you go from 0 to like 80, right? And it's a dangerous freeway. And by the way, it has like no side rails. So you're like, good luck. Hopefully you're going to make a good decision. Boom, you're on, right? I mean, welcome to LA. So, but what we're looking for is an on-ramp. An on-ramp to be able to pick up speed gives you a much better chance of acclimating to being in a relationship. And it's if your body feels safer, just like that 0 to 100 does not, you have a better chance of it being risky, not working out because it's just so fast. You need that on-ramp, and the on-ramp comes with time and experience watching with your eyes, which is why I'm always preaching. I think I preach a little too much. I think stop preaching. And like, and one of my kids is like, for some reason, like people like listening to you, because we don't, you know, but that's teenagers for you. But one of the things I'm always preaching is like, stop asking so many questions and watch. How do they treat the waiter when they come up to the table? Watch with your eyes. Anybody can say what they want to say. I want to see how you are in like real life out in the wild.
How do they treat their family? How do they treat their friends? What are they doing in the community? Are they happy with their career? Are they miserable day to day? I mean, what are they like on a Tuesday at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon? That's the kind of stuff that comes with time. Like you're saying, it's easy to be whoever you want to be on Friday and Saturday night on a date. But yeah, I just feel like for me, my lane, that little merge part where you're on the on-ramp and things are going well, I have usually just merged right into a semi and just crashed. So I'm waiting for that. Like, that'll be nice. I don't know when that's going to happen, but.
You know, but I always say it only takes one, and you have no idea who you're going to meet tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the hope we need to hold, is this sense of like, if you can think of a good relationship or a last relationship that was good, you had no idea a week before you met them. So we have to be able to hold that hope. Hope is not actually about if it comes to fruition. Hope is about what it gives you in the moment. And can I hold that hope of like, yeah, it's still, I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to meet tomorrow. I am curious though, if I could ask you, if you're not on the dating apps, where do you
crazy,
look in real
right?
life? Do
I
you
know,
look like,
life.
How do you,
I
how do you,
women in real life? It's okay, crazy.
I get asked that a lot. I also have taught on, I have a whole, one of my podcast episodes is how to engage with people. If you're not on dating apps, how do you do that?
Oh yeah. I listened to one the other day where you were talking about how to approach somebody. But yeah, so I approach in real life. I'm not scared to go up and talk to somebody. So if I find someone attractive, I will hands down walk up. No, I'm not doing cheesy one-liners or this and that. I'll just introduce myself. But again, I don't know. I've kind of always had that, not to say fearless, not acting like I'm just like, what's the worst that can happen? And if people trick their brain to say,
yes,
the worst can happen is they say no, or they have a boyfriend or whatever, then okay, cool. I'm still in the same position I'm in, sitting here in this booth. Why not go over and talk to the girls? So, I mean, once you free your mind of that, and honestly, here's another thing. A lot of people overthink it. If you're out and about and someone else is out and about, chances are they want to have a conversation too. So relax, make it fun and light. Don't overthink. It's so funny when people are scared to approach somebody. I'm like, man, just go up and talk to her. Like, it's not that hard.
I love what you said there too. You track it all the way through to say, okay, let's think about it. What's my fear? What's the worst case scenario? They have a boyfriend. They're not interested. By the way, if you think about how would it feel on the other side, it's flattering. So like, if anything, they're walking away feeling flattered, right?
Absolutely.
And at the same thing, you have nothing to lose. And I always tell people, and then like, get the hell out of there. Flee. Like, you don't ever have to see them again in your life.
That's the best part. Yeah. It's like, you may never see them again. I mean, but you know, in a small town like this that I'm in, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll see them again.
Yeah. But, wait, in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it's a scene.
LA,
you have nothing different to lose. Like, you won't ever see them again.
Oh, I was a different person in LA. I came this summer and visited a buddy. We had a blast. Let me tell you that. What is it? The bungalow out in Santa Monica.
I've actually been there.
Oh yeah, it is a let me tell you. I want to come back.
It is a scene. I did have a few mama moments. Like, we were there for one of my girlfriend's birthdays, and at first I was like, okay, we are like mamas to these girls. And I was like, honey, you look so darling. Like, you look so cute. And she's like, oh, thank you. I'm like, you just have the cutest little figure. Like, we just like love them up. But oh my gosh, it is. Yes, you need to go back there.
Yeah, that's the scene right there. we don't have places like that.
You don't have that in Kentucky?
No, not really. Not really. Not too much. But.
All right. Well, Winston, I do have questions that people send in. And again, if you're listening to this, please keep sending your voice memos, 6 to 90 second voice memos. You can send them to Lisa at So My Mom's a Therapist. Love answering. I'm going back to doing full episodes just of answering people's questions. But I've got one for us today, and we're going to end on this.
So I've been listening to your podcast and I absolutely love it, but I do have a question. So I've been in a relationship for the past 3 years with my boyfriend. We've been planning on getting married. He's already gotten the engagement ring, so we're pretty serious. But 2 years into us dating, we did almost break up as he was having some major doubts that he was too young to get settled and that he hasn't dated around enough. For context, we're both 26. We talked it through, though, and we are in a much better place. But recently, as we've been talking more and planning more about our marriage, our wedding, he said that, you know, he had some feelings of doubt come up again. And we talked them through and he put them to rest and felt much better. But sometimes it's hard for me not to panic and worry. I often worry that if he actually really does want to be with me. And I've also told him before that I don't want to hold him back if he does feel like he will regret later on in life not dating more. But he always says that he loves me and he chooses me and he always reassures me. So I guess my question is, how much doubt is normal in a relationship? Are these doubts an indication for us not to move forward with getting married? how do I let go of that anxiety and worry? And how do I learn to trust that he loves and chooses me?
Yikes. That's I'm so excited to hear your response here, because I was hanging on pins and needles. What a great question.
Oh, I loved it. Of course I have something to say, but I've always been like, you know, I'm waiting for the moment where I'm like, got nothing. No, it hasn't come yet. It hasn't come.
I mean, this is a tough little situation though. Go right ahead.
I actually just had a situation with a client a few months ago that we walked through with this, and she was saying like, I keep having doubts. And I said, okay. So I said, believe it or not, doubts are not about if the person, it's not about if it's about the right person or the wrong person. What doubts are is saying, oh, that lets us know there's something there we need to explore. My encouragement. So I'm going to start with this. One of the things when I had a client and she was like having doubts about whether this was, did I date enough around? Same thing. Is this, what if this is not my person? And I said to her, and then she referenced a friend of hers that was getting married. And usually it's because there's someone else in your life that either is in a relationship or getting married and they are 100% certain. And I said to her, I said, well, just because they're 100% certain doesn't mean that their marriage is going to be a success. And all of a sudden she looked and she's like, oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. Like, that doesn't mean, that's not, it just 100, no doubt up front doesn't guarantee you a marriage that ends up in success. You don't know, because we don't know what's going to happen in life. Right. And so all of a sudden that was like a game changer for her to realize, you're right. So what we did, and what my encouragement for this gal would be, I would encourage him to go back, and I would say to her, encourage him to say, I think you really need to talk to somebody about this, because if you leave the doubt, then it's something that's going to grow in your nervous system. And that may allow you, if it bumps you high enough, it'll cause a flee response. And I think that's what she's afraid of, is this, like, is he going to bolt on me? Right. So my encouragement would be, it's not about whether you're the right or wrong person for him or you're holding him back. It's about him learning. He's got to manage whatever that motion is going on in his body that's starting to build in panic.
Right.
And that's what needs to be addressed. So and then addressing the fears, what are his fears underneath that are causing that doubt?
Right.
Right.
And that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm joking here, but I would be like, dump him. No, I'm kidding. But she's 26, right? So you're on that cusp. I feel like when you are 25, 26 and you get into your career, and that's really when you can see some change in someone, your frontal lobe develops, all that, whatever they claim. Yes. But I do think there's some because let me tell you, the young ones, we'll just say, are not on that level. But the doubt thing, I mean, kudos to her for sticking through and like them talking it out and being there, because I'll be honest, my pride at that age, if I would have heard this girl said, oh, I have doubts, you're the only person I've dated, I would say, see you later. So kudos to them.
How come?
No, what's funny, I'm arrogant. I'm kidding. No, I don't know. I think that me, for that point, I in my life at 25 had very unrealistic expectations for relationships. Mm. I was raised on me thinking I'm going to marry one woman. I'm going to fall in love one time. This is it. This is how the world works. I was, you know, watching too many rom-coms and just thinking life is a fairy tale. And so, yeah, that took some adjusting. So again, kudos to her for, you know, at least even seeking out here, you know, asking a question. So
it's recognizing that, you know, I have to say I'm with you. I don't share a lot about my personal life, but same. Like, you know, I got married at like 23, and I've been divorced for about 11 years now. But my parents were, until my dad passed away, so 54 years together. Right. They were so intentional about their romance. He was always whisking her away. I was with you on that, of like, oh, that's how it is.
That's hard. Yeah, my parents are still together, so I think me having such a good outlook and watching them and seeing that my sisters are both married and in happy marriage, I'm just like, you know, I've got good people to look up to. So it makes it harder in dating, because I'm not going to settle for something
examples of things that are valuable. Yeah. So recognizing, so for her, my encouragement would be to encourage him to say, I really think you need to talk to someone, whether it's a mentor, whether it's a coach, whether it's a therapist, to be able to say, I think you need to address that, because if you don't, the closer we march towards that wedding date, my concern is the more that panic's going to go up in your body. And I don't want to have to be sitting here freaking out, wondering if you're going to all of a sudden just like pull the cord and we're out. Right.
Right.
So I think it's more about addressing that feeling in his body and giving, he needs to be able to explore what his fears are. It's not about whether she's the right or wrong person. It's his fears.
Right.
Right. So, but I don't know, that was just like a mind-blowing moment for like my, one of my clients and I, when I was like, just because you're 100% certain going in, then life happens.
Yeah.
Then life happens.
That's so true. It's so well put, because you're right. I mean, just because you have no doubts doesn't mean on, you know, the 7-year itch or this or that. And you see that, like,
right.
Especially in today's world, man, it is so tough, because, you know, I don't know the stats. What are the stats now with divorce rates? It's skyrocketing. I mean,
It is. And I always, it is over 50%, but I always, I don't live in the stats, because all stats do is either make us feel depressed, discouraged, or afraid. And, the,
ooh,
and we can't
great
control
point.
Them.
Oh, preach. Yell that at me again. Say that again. That's so true.
And you can't change them. They're big picture. They're zoomed out. So, you know, well, the likelihood of a woman over 35 getting married is blah, blah. Who the fuck cares? I can't change that.
Exactly. That's so true. Well put. I needed to hear that. Yeah, it's true. Because sometimes I live in my head a little bit about like, oh man, well, just like everything else, it's, you know, going to the shitter. But
yeah.
Man.
And then you zoom in and say, well, I'm here and I think I'm amazing. And I know there's got to be other amazing people here. What can I do? What can I do today to engage, to go up and talk to somebody in Trader Joe's? I don't know if you have Trader Joe's.
We do. And I go about once a year, because then afterwards I have to go to my real grocery store and get my real groceries. You know, I go there.
I am convinced. Look
for a wife. It doesn't happen.
That's right. I am convinced people should find people in Trader Joe's. I don't know why. It's just maybe because it's like my happy place. Maybe it's my happy place. I don't know. So, well, thank you for joining me. As we're wrapping up, tell people where they can find you. Where can they find you and see your if you need a lap, you need to go see his videos.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's a rave review. Thank you though. But I am at it's at Winston Hines on, I think, all socials, Instagram and TikTok. Hopefully I keep making some more people laugh at themselves. I mean, that's my whole goal. And I don't take life too serious. You know, nobody's made it out alive. So,
well, thank you for joining me. And I loved what you had to share. I think you have a lot of insight to share and things that are relatable, that make people feel like they're not alone, and also maybe even challenging someone's perspective or how they even approach dating. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I love your advice. I am like a huge fan. So this has been an awesome opportunity. Thank you for having me on.